just pull the thing off. And we'll just a reminder, we have Bibles, we have Sunday school every Sunday at 9:30, and it's always fun. It's good to just share with people. So if we're going through our daily bread, so it's a great thing for that. We have Gleaners on Wednesdays, and starts at 10:55, and 11 o'clock, they open up the food and it goes fast. So I encourage you to come, invite people to come. It's an outreach for people that need help, or for anybody. And if you know somebody that is really struggling, if you have them call the church and leave a message, Sherry or Helen will get in touch with them. So they're the ones that check it. Well, but she can still listen on the phone. And what else do we have? We have lots here, so I'm winning it. Sherry's running a fundraiser for the food pantry. So if you can find the link on our church Facebook page, if you are interested in donating for that. Oh, there it is. And we have prayer meeting on Wednesday nights. It's always great to get together and pray. We start at 7 o'clock, and you just do it on Zoom. So you just, if you go to our web site right there, there's a place, Debbie's got it set up, so you just click it, and it goes right, as long as you have Zoom, why you can come and join us for prayer. And we're usually done about 8 o'clock, sometimes a little before. So it's a good time. National Night Out is coming, and that's a fun thing, and they're getting back to it. We haven't had it for a couple of years because of COVID. But Gales Creek has a great National Night Out. It's over at the school, and it's a potluck. They cook hamburgers and hot dogs on the grill, and everybody brings... Oh, read the flyers. Maybe I'm reading. We provide, chicken. So bring a dish to share. They're going to provide chicken. So we're going all out this year with chicken. Yeah, and they're going to have special games for kids and lots of prizes. They always have lots of drawings and prizes. You get a ticket when you join and when you come. And it's always a fun time for the family. So starts at 6 o'clock. Over here at the thing, and there is a flyer you should be seeing. And if you know somebody that's interested, you could give them pick up a flyer for them too. Fun time. I love National Night Out. So our next potluck is August 6th. And I think we'll just probably have a regular potluck, but I think in September we'll have another barbecue. I was thinking maybe we could do another barbecue in September. Well, the weather's still good before it gets bad. The men's retreat is coming August 18th through the 20th. So see Bill for more information on that. And the women's retreat will be coming up September 15th to the 17th. Yeah. So, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. We praise you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for this time that we can be together and just come and worship you, come and just give you praises, Lord Jesus. And Just come and absorb your word, Lord. We just lift Pastor Teresa up to you right now. We know you've put something special on her heart that each one of us is going to glean from. We ask just for our fellowship, Lord, that it just glorify you, that we are thankful that we have each other to support us. We give you praise, Lord Jesus, and we just ask a special blessing in your name. Amen. All right, we're going to go to our call to worship. And it is Psalms 46:10. You can stand. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Amen. So we're going to sing. I will sing the mercies of the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, and with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Oh, we thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your love. We have been in heavenly places, felt blessings from above. We've been sharing all the good things the family can afford. Let's just turn our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Just the precious name of Jesus,
is worthy of our praise. Let us bow our knees before him, our hands to heaven raise. When he comes in clouds of glory, with him to ever reign, let's just lift our happy voices and praise his name. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts to heaven and praise the Lord. You are Lord of creation and Lord of my life, Lord of the land and the sea. You were Lord of the heavens before there was time, and Lord of all lords you will be. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. We bow down and we worship you, Lord. Lord of all lords, you will be. You are King of creation and King of my life, King of the land and the sea. You were King of the heavens before there was time, and King of all kings you will be. We bow down and we crown you the King. We bow down and we crown you the King. We bow down and we crown you the King. King of all kings you will be. Make me a servant, humble. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak, and may the prayers of my heart always be. Make me a servant, make me a servant. Make me a servant today. Make me a servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak. Make me a servant. Make
be seated.
Good morning. I'm filling in for our wonderful brother and Pastor Ivan today. Ivan's going under the weather. We're going to be scheduled to prepare for him later. God, we just want to give you the glory and praise that we can give back to you that you have given us so freely. Bless the gift, bless the cheerful gifter. We give you this in response to all your glory and praise. And in Jesus' name, we give you glory. Judy shared that her son and daughter-in-law got to go to Tennessee. Everything was good. They had a good trip. They never go anywhere, so it's a good praise. Thank you, God. Carolyn. There's a praise. Carolyn shared that Ivan, we've been praying for a job for Ivan. Well, Tony, excuse me, for Ivan too. But Tony gets a call out of the blue. He didn't even submit an application or a resume and wanted to set up an interview from Sandy High School. What a praise. Does God work mysteriously? No, it's mysterious to you and I, but wow. What a great praise. Wink has something to share. Wayne shared a praise that he had recently received an eye injection, a new procedure to stop what has been going on. And it's right now, he's had no side effects. So that's, whoa, God. And it's not going to cure it, but it's going to stop it from going on. And so we're praying that he can see better. We're praying that he has a relief. Any other praises? Praise the Lord. Judy shared that they took Helen in her with pain with her eye, and they looked and they said, "Your eyelashes are scratching her eye? That's weird, right?" And so anyway, she's doing progressively better, and so we're praying for continued healing there, and praise God that we have doctors that can go to and get good help, right? I got to praise that we see our good friend Betty and Josh Culver here this morning. I just want to give you praise that we get to see you too. Oh, Josh, how's your cousin doing? Oh, good. Good. Josh shared that his cousin Mike, who had his leg amputated, is that he's home. He's doing okay, but they're looking for a place where they can get better care. Is that right? So we want to be praying for that. And I praise God that Josh and Betty are checking in on him, too. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, you're going to see him this tomorrow? Oh, cool. Very good. Any others? Right behind you, Sarah. Very cool. Very cool. Claire, Sarah shared about Claire with her eyes that she's going to get some glasses that hopefully this will help her headaches go away. And Claire's excited that they're having friends come in, that they're praying for safe trips. So Jeremy has his hand raised. Yes, there is a family that we don't know exactly the cause, but there's quite a fire out on the Manning area on Highway 26 that closed the highway down. There's a lot of complications that there were that created. And Jeremy, that fire flared up again at 3:30 this morning, we were told, and it moved several, how many apparatus? 13, yeah. So anyway, pray for that whole situation. That's an area that's be pretty bad if that got even worse. Second prayer request for Jeremy.
My best friend.
Your best friend,
Nathan.
Nathan, this is a praise and a prayer at the same time. Jeremy's been praying for Nathan Kroom that he could get him to come to church. Well, he's been really talking to Nathan, and God opened the door for his job title to change. So he's going to be in a different position at Fred Meyer working the produce, which will open up the possibility so he can attend church with us. So that's a praise. Jeremy's been really, Nathan, I went to your church, you know. But he sees him anyway, you know what I mean, quite often. Skyler. Skyler shared where he attends church, and the pastor had to step aside, have an associate come in fill his place because he has kidney stones. I've been there. Kidney stones are extremely painful. Yes, we'll be praying for healing. Thank you, Skyler. Any other praise? Josh. We have a prayer request from Josh to pray for his back. It's really hurting. While we're talking about backs, Ivan needs prayer. Ivan overdid it yesterday, and he can barely walk. And he's in a lot of pain, guys. He's got a sweaty brow from his pain. And we know how backs hurt really bad. Let's just pray for him. Any other prayers? Debbie. Debbie shared with, once again, concerning the fire that Jeremy requested earlier about how many people were involved, and the person's home was lost, a 90-year-old grandmother, she said. There's some pets involved there, too. I don't know all the particulars yet. The other one was a fire that was in Horse Grove. Let's pray for wisdom, that God uses us to be wise with fireworks. Fireworks here in our area are great at Christmas time or New Year's Eve. Wonderful time. Make sure there's 10 foot of snow on the ground, you know. But let's just be wise and pray that people are wise, because we got some very, very, very dangerous high temperatures, winds can create really bad wildfires. All right. Yes, Teresa.
Yes, we're praying for there's lots of sinking here in the U.S. There's flooding, there's landslides.
Yeah, craziness.
Falling into the crevice of the ground. 15 or so homes in California. Death Valley was 130 degrees. It's just, it's all the talk. We need to be better stewards of our world. And loving and kind to the people around us who need us. Because now that they've been devastated, we need to step out on our neighbors.
Pastor Teresa shared that with the global warming, the global change, the fires, extreme heat, flooding, where it hadn't flooded for years. It's such a chaotic heat brings about stress. Stress brings about anxiety, brings about meanness to people. We need to learn to be kind to each other, love each other, try to be. I had a friend say a special request for me the other day. She said, God, please help us be compassionate. Now, I don't remember them all because I didn't have my pencil up here, which I very, very regret. Father God, we just right now give you the glory and the praise that we can come to you, Lord. Lord, I'm humbled right now, God, because this is your world. This isn't my world. This isn't Bill Marvel's world. You've just allowed me to be a very small part of it. You've allowed Gilstrick to be a small part of it. But we're connected, God. We're connected to people. We're connected to your people. We're connected to your people that don't know anything about you, God. God, we pray a special blessing to be upon Ivan with his back, Josh with his back, Wink with his eyes, Helen with her eyes. Lord, we pray, Lord, for the praise that you've given us, Lord, concerning the physicians with eyes and our bodies, God. We pray, Lord, that you touch Claire's eyes. We pray, Lord, with our friends that are flying, our families that are flying. We pray, Lord, that you be with each and one of us, God, in such a mighty way, God. Be with us, Lord. Answer your prayer, our prayers. Give us the glory that we can share throughout your land that you are the great God of glory. Oh God, we pray this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to introduce to you someone you all know. She doesn't know that I'm going to introduce you to our pastor. I am going to sing, I'm going to introduce you that we're kids. We're kids of God. And come on up, kids. I shouldn't say kids. Come on up, Ivan and Sarah's children.
Wyatt, too.
Whoa. You're going to have to teach me to do this song. Do you know this song? Well, Dawson answers it. I asked him, do you know Roll Away? He says, for marbles. Yeah. I'm still after Mick Jagger for stealing our name. Rolling Stones. Okay, ready? Roll away, roll away, roll away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go neath the crimson glow. Hallelujah! Rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart rolled away. You practice dancing, don't you? Great God, we just praise you for these wonderful children, these future leaders of your church, wherever they are, they're future leaders. We pray for protection. We pray for grace. We pray for us as mentors to be strong. Give them the strength through you that they always give you the glory and praise. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Now, introducing Pastor Teresa. I was blessed last week to go with Pastor Teresa and Pastor, do you remember my niece's name? Jenny, out for lunch. Jenny Elliott, which is Jenny Marvel. Anyway, I was blessed to hear their conversation, how God is using them in their ministries. God bless you, Teresa. God, we just want to give you glory and praise right now for our pastor, Teresa. Protect her heart. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord, saints. Thank God for another day. Thank you, Brother Bill, for stepping in for Pastor Ivan. We are praying that Pastor Ivan will feel better soon. I'm grateful to see another day, to be in the land of the living, and to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Good to see happy faces today. So welcome to those who are watching us through our Facebook page. Welcome to our worship experience here. The last couple of weeks, we've been studying Paul's letter to the Roman church. So we're going to continue in that, actually, even into next month. We've learned from Paul thus far that God has done the hard work, the impossible work, to save humanity, and that through the work of Jesus, we get to live for God. We talked about that last week. In today's passage, it presents Paul's argument, his teaching, that God lives within us. And he talks about what it looks like when we acknowledge the God within. So if follow along with me, I'm going to be sharing from chapter 8 of Romans. We're going to do the first half, I think it's about the first half of the chapter, verses 1 through 14. I'm sharing from the New Living Translation, but of course, as always, I invite you to follow along with whichever translation you prefer. Romans chapter 8, God within. So now, of course, this is Paul speaking, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So, listen to what he says. God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Verse 5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, they think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember, that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And he says, verse 10, Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, You have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. Listen to what he says in verse 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Amen to God's holy word. That's a good word. Sometimes I wish I could be with Paul and be like, now Paul, that's some good stuff right there. And pat him on the back. That's some good stuff. You may have noticed by now, as we've been reading through portions of Romans, that Paul has a tendency to repeat himself. And we should be fine with that, because we know repetition leads to retention. That's why when we're in school, we repeat, 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 so that we can actually learn the lesson at hand. So if we hear or read something over and again, our minds begin to recall that information. So when we need that piece of information or that detail, we can use it. So Paul has, in previous chapters, explained why God had to send Jesus to save us. He also teaches the reader that Jesus' death and resurrection means the believer dies to the power of sin and is resurrected to live a God-honoring life. So we talked a little bit about, what does that mean to live a God-honoring life? What does that mean to die to the power of sin and then be resurrected to live a life for God? So in this particular passage, by the time we get to chapter 8, Paul returns to his argument that God did the work to save humanity. It's not us. We didn't initiate it. God did. And then Paul shows the implications of accepting Christ as God's salvation plan and what it looks like to live for God. So here he builds on his previous lessons, and then he adds this in chapter 8, that God lives in the believer. So not only did he save us, not only did he come up with a plan of salvation, but he actually lives inside of us. And so, because God lives in us, the believer can do the works that God has designed. And he also says at the very end, verse 14, God makes the believer his child. It's a beautiful thing. So Paul's foundation for proof that God lives in the believer is this, a foundational thing. God saved us. He can't live inside of us unless he first saves us. So Paul restates God's plan of salvation. Go back and read verses 3 and 4. Look what it says. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Listen to verse 4. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us. Us, we believers, are no longer having to follow our sinful nature, but instead, as he says, we died to that, we are following the Spirit. It's fascinating to me how deep the concept of an almighty God who chose to save his creation. It's very fascinating because God could have just made us and left us to our own whatever we wanted to do, whatever happened to us. Right? But he didn't. He already knew in his mind that he wanted to save humanity. It's a fascinating concept. He chose to save his creation. And so Paul restates this truth in a variety of ways so that anyone who hears might truly understand. And this is why Paul goes to the trouble of repeating himself. He doesn't simply repeat himself, but he says it in a different way so that, I can get the understanding of what did he mean when he said that? So sometimes, again, you know, you go through and you're like, why does Paul keep saying this? Like, we got it the first time. Oh, but did you? Do you truly understand the implications of what he's saying? This is why he repeats himself. So he continues to point out that there will be those among us who incorrectly hold fast to rules when they should focus on God's grace and new life in him. You probably know a Christian or two that's like that, always worried about the rules and regulations, always trying to put on the airs of what it means to be holy. And God is like, yo, stop that. That's actually not being in a relationship with me. I'm not holding up this thing for the list of don'ts. You are set free from the rule of law. Walk away from that and live in freedom and do the things I have created you to do. So that's why Paul reminds us that the law, which has all of God's commands, as beautiful as they are, they cannot save us. So all you're focused on, I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to do that, and I'm not going to do that, and then I'm going to impress God, and then I'll be saved. Wrong answer. Your list of don'ts is not going to save you. Memorizing the Ten Commandments, not going to save you. I did all these things, and I'm good. Not going to save you. It is the work of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, that saves us. The laws of Moses do not save us. They don't even give us brownie points with God. I know some people, you're laughing, Brother Bill, but somebody's looking for brownie points because, you know, they're trying to be holier than all the people, rest of the people. And God is like, sorry, but that's actually not how it works. It's not how it works. I need you, if you love me, then you will be like me. And you will do the things that I have designed you to do. Not study a book and try to, ooh, see, she wrong, he wrong, ooh, they're wrong. Stop that. That's not, no, nope. When you see people doing it, just go, you know, I think there might be a better way. I think you've lost focus on actually what God wants us to be doing. He's not asking us to go around and point out the wrongdoings of the people around us. Nope, you're not going to get any brownie points. Just letting you know. God's plan from the beginning was to save his people himself, not the laws and the commands that he created. He already knew, nope, that's not going to save them. I am going to save them. And that's why he sacrificed his son to do just that. God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. That's verse 3. Verse 4 says, he did this so that the just requirement of the law will be fully satisfied. Remember what the law requires? The wages of sin is what? Death. There has to be a blood sacrifice to pay for sin. So God offered up his perfect, without blemish lamb once and for all, to save us so that we could be set free from trying to live up to the laws, rules, and regulations and actually be in relationship with him and be in right relationship with the people around us. So, to Paul's second point, God is in us. So first, God saved us, and now he tells us God is actually in us. God lives in us through his Son and through the Holy Spirit. And you know, it's very interesting because Paul, people, like if you read theologians or in biblical scholars, they'll never say that Paul is a Trinitarian. Trinitarian is that idea of there's three persons in God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Paul doesn't use that language, but it's what he describes right here in this particular text and in other places. But there's an argument that he actually, even though he didn't use that and teach that in the forefront of his theology, it's how it shows up for him. Listen to him in verses 9 through 11. Because this is Paul. These are his arguments. Verse 9. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature, because Jesus has set us free from that. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And now who has the Spirit of God living in them? Those who believe. That would be you and me, and anyone else on the planet who believes. And remember, he says, that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. So again, we've said this before, you can't expect the rest of the world to act like Christians because they don't know Christ. Stop asking them to act like us. They don't believe like we do. Stop that. It's crazy making. You're going to perpetually be frustrated because it's not your job to go and be the Holy Spirit for other people. We are supposed to allow the Holy Spirit to work in us so that we shine our lights and show people who God is. So he says it right there. Those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him. So why are you talking to people about how they should act and be like God when they don't even know who God is? Silly to do that. Verse 10 says, Christ lives within you. And then he says in verse 11, the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, does what? Lives in you. So he's repeating himself just in case you missed it. Jesus is actually in you. Oh, yes. And the Spirit of God is actually in you. And so if you have the Spirit of God and you have Jesus in you, then guess what? That means you have God the Father in you. So he says in verse 11, just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. So God is in us. Anyone who believes in God, believes in his Messiah, has God's Spirit living inside. And if you have the Spirit of God, you have Jesus living inside and God himself. This, too, is also a miraculous thing to understand, to fully comprehend. The creator of all things, not like the God of the sun or the God of the planet Earth or the God of rocks. No, the God, the creator of all the things, all living beings, the animals, the plants, the land, the sea, the celestial bodies, all of the universe, was created by God, and he is choosing to live in the people who believe in him. Isn't that fascinating? He's created all of these things we can't even imagine. I just saw the other day on the news, they were talking about the telescope and how powerful it is now, and how it's seeing thousands and thousands of light years away, things that they didn't know even existed. Can you imagine? God created all of that, Sister Debbie. And yet, as big and powerful and mighty as he is, as righteous as he is, as forgiving as he is, he lives right inside of us. That's amazing. The God of all creation has chosen to live inside of our hearts and our minds. That's what he does. He lives inside of us. All the people who believe in him. Which is also mind-blowing, because he doesn't just live in me and at my house in Northeast Portland. He's in all of these spaces around the globe, because there are more believers than just us. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. So Paul says that the triune God, all three persons, live inside the believer. And to what end? I mean, but why does the Almighty God, who created everything, who could have just kept going on his way, like, oh, I think I'm going to do this. I think I'm going to make some angels. Oh, I think I'm going to make some stars. Oh, let me do a solar system, too. Oh, let me put human beings on the planet. He could have just done that and walked away, kept it moving, and gone on to create something else. But he didn't do that. Why does God live in the heart of the believer? Well, I would say, according, if you read scripture and Paul's words here as well, it's the byproduct of Jesus' death. So, you know, Jesus died, right? But he didn't stay dead. So part of being saved, part of the work of Christ is that, yes, he was that blood sacrifice. And he was also resurrected back to life. He didn't stay dead. He died so God's wrath would be satisfied. He was resurrected so we could live victorious lives for God's glory. So he comes back to life and we follow him, shadowing the work that he did. So then we get to be like Jesus and live a victorious life, which is why Paul keeps reiterating, you are no longer enslaved to the power of sin. You just aren't. So stop that mentality in your mind of writing in your journal, okay, today I stopped at all the red lights, and then I didn't lie, and I also didn't kill anybody. And okay, that's good. But what you doing? You got a bunch of don'ts, what you didn't do. What are you actually doing? He was resurrected so we could live victorious lives for God's glory. The Spirit lives in us to empower us to live for God. So we can't just stop at the, okay, I'm saved. I died to my sins. Okay, right. And we're resurrected to a new life. What is that new life all about? I'll tell you what it's about because it's right here in the scripture. As our creator, God has set in his mind good works for each of us to do. Why? Because we belong to him. Because we are like his son Jesus who passed on his ministry to us. That's the whole point of Jesus coming, to show us the way how to be in right relationship with God. When we're in right relationship with God, we can then turn around and be in right relationship with the people around us. God has designed good works for every last one of us to do. This is why he saved you, to restore you to his very image. So this is Paul's third argument presented in verses 13 and 14. He says in summary, and he does a lot of therefores. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. The road of sin leads you to a dead end of death. There's nothing good that's going to come out of that. It may work out for you right here and right now in the present, but long term, death. You're living a life of death. But, he says, if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. And you are not just living to go to work and pay your bills. You're living a God-honoring life. You're living to do some good things that God has designed you to do. Paul reminds the reader once again, we die to the power of our sin nature and we're resurrected to life in Christ. So, what did Jesus do? He died, but there was something that he was doing before he died. He was doing the will of the Father. He was being an example for us to follow and do likewise, be like him and do good works for the Father. That's what he did. He lived a human life He tabernacled among us, is what Scripture says. He lived among us. He showed others how to be in this world. He reflected the Father's image, and then he taught other people to do the same. Specifically, his 12 disciples who were closest to him, but then the masses, because he had many disciples, not just the 12. So I absolutely love the fact that God resurrects us to do good works. We don't have to worry about the list of don'ts, and we get to focus our energy on doing all the things that bring life to us and to the people around us. That's what being resurrected in Christ is all about, when he stands you back up and you come out of death. So this includes small things to the very huge things, like paying for the coffee of the person behind you in line, or racing into a burning building to make sure all the inhabitants are out, even the animals, even their pets. We do small things that can be a blessing to others around us, and even large things like being willing to actually sacrifice our physical life for the sake of another. You know, I was tickled this morning because when we were in Sunday school reading through the Daily Bread, so I don't read the Daily Bread during the week. So when we got to Sunday school this morning, I was like, oh, see, they don't took stuff out of my sermon. They must have been peeking at my sermon. Because Saturday's reading, just yesterday, July 15th, is Colossians 3:17. It says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And in this particular reading, it actually quotes author G.K. Chesterton. Listen to what he says. You say grace before meals, all right. But I say grace before sketching, painting, swimming, fencing, boxing, walking, playing, dancing, and grace before I dip the pen in the ink. What is that author saying? Whatever you are doing, do for the glory of God. Do it as if you're actually doing it for God. If you're making a painting, don't just paint, because the people around you are going to be like, oh my goodness, you're such a good painter. Do it because God is your audience, and you want to paint something for the master of creation himself. Do good works that glorify God in the small things as well as the huge things. Learning a craft and doing it as if you were performing it for God is how you honor God. Whatever your line of work is or your profession, all of that is part of the good works that God has designed for you to complete. It's very interesting to me. I've probably mentioned this before because my baby sister is a writer. She's an author, published author. And I remember someone asking, well, does she write Christian books? And I thought to myself, what? Christian books? Like Christian? Books can't be saved or not saved. What do you even mean by that? Like, do we write Christian songs or so then I started thinking, oh, I think they mean like, does she write books that talk about God or somehow have a Christian theme in it? But you don't have to do that. I'm sure there are people who do, right? But we don't have to all do that. Because whatever gift God has given you, it's unto the Lord. So Pastor Ivan and Sister Sarah, they're teachers. They're not teachers for their public schools. They're teachers unto God. Because no matter what type of student is in their class, they are going to treat that child as they are golden. Why? Because that's what God expects of them. That's what God wants them to do. So your teaching has nothing to do with being a Christian, because you're not there to teach them theology. You're there to teach them how to love their neighbor, how to be good citizens, to read and to write, to do their math, take care of themselves. Everything we do should be done unto God. So there's no such thing as doing a Christian thing or a Christian profession. Because if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, then that is how God is expecting you to show up. My son is a musician. Is he playing only gospel music? No, he's playing secular music. He's traveling the globe as we speak. And guess what he's doing? He's honoring God. Why? Because that's the gift that God gave him. And he is sharing it with the rest of the world. And along the way, he's having all these wonderful conversations, meeting all types of people. And guess what he's doing, Pastor Ivan? He's showing them who Jesus is. You don't need to carry a Bible and hit people on the head and think that you're going to save them. No. Do what God created you to do. Be who God created you to be. That's why he resurrected you from death. Your life of death was leading you just to more death at the end. Get off that path. And I know you got some good people around you who are like, no, but we got to do these rules, and this is how you show yourself to be a Christian. Cut that out. Cut that out. What has God designed you to do? Who has he called you to be? Focus on those things. Focus on loving other people. Focus on bringing joy, sharing your wisdom. Those things is what God has created you to do. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. And Paul says, again, in his letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 23, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. So he says it in his letter to the Colossians 3:17, but he also says it to the Corinthians. Do whatever you do as unto the Lord. So you don't need a pulpit. You don't need to have a Christian podcast. You don't have to have signs out in the street. You know, if God calls you to that, by all means. But he hasn't called most of us to do that. Let's be honest. He's called you to be the mother to your kids. Can you just pray for them? Show them who Jesus is. Right? You know, some of us are going to be called to go to foreign lands. Some of us are going to be called to step out of our spaces and into the public arena here within the U.S. and help people see who God is. But that's not the only way. The life that he has given you is your way. So stop comparing yourself to everybody else and do what God has called you to do. Be who he has designed you to be. So, do as you're working for the Lord rather than for people. God also has given us the power of speech. We should look to speak life into the situations we find ourselves in, as well as speaking life into the others around us. Listen to what Proverbs 18 says. Proverbs 18, verse 21. This is what it tells us. The tongue can bring death or life. That's way back, thousands of years before Jesus even got here. Way before James, because you know, if you read in the New Testament, James talks about the power of the tongue. James chapter 3. Read that. We have in our own tongues, in our mouths, the power of death or life. So, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, my siblings in Christ, I am urging you to speak life. Stop cursing things. Stop speaking death over things and speak life. Because that's what Jesus did. That's what God did in the very beginning. He spoke life. So if we are calling ourselves Christians, those who follow Christ, that is what we must do. In this present age, show up as God has intended us to. Let's speak life instead of condemnation and judgment. It's real easy to look at those people over there and go, oh, those marbles, OMG. They totally need to learn how to be saved and live for Christ. it's real easy to look at our neighbors and go, oh my goodness, they're not doing, but why the judgment? Did God ask you to go and tell the people, oh my goodness, you need to act better? No, he didn't ask you to do that. He probably is prompting you, maybe you should pray about that. Why don't you ask Sister Debbie to help you pray about this one thing that you're so concerned about? And God will speak through Sister Debbie to you.
Oh, yes.
Right. Speak life instead of judgment and condemnation. Because that's what those who name the name of Christ are expected to do. We are expected to bring life to the dead places and spaces that we encountered, just as Jesus did. And so the last argument Paul makes in this passage is that God made us his children. That's verse 14. When God sacrificed his son for humanity, he not only restored our broken relationship with him, but he adopted all of those who believe in him into his family. So remember, I talked about this before. This is why we call each other brothers and sisters, so-and-so. Because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all a part of the family of God. You believe in him, you belong to God. That's why we call each other that. We are like Jesus, his son. We've been adopted into his family. We are God's children. And therefore, anyone who believes is declared a child of God. They don't have to look like us. They don't have to speak the same language. They don't have to dress like us. They don't even have to live in our neighborhood. They are still children of God. Because 14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are what? Children of God. So when we believe God, his Spirit comes to live inside us and he makes us God's children. And as God's children, we are going to act like God. You should be able to see the family resemblance in us. Okay? Why? It's not because of our physical resemblance. It's because of our hearts, our actions. They show the world who God is. And then they begin to draw a connection. Oh, he must be one of those people. Remember how they did that to Peter when he was out next to the fire? Oh, you sound like one. He was all, got nervous. I don't look like them. How does she know that I'm one of them? Oh, you sound like one of them. You act like one of them. And that's what we want people to say about us. Not, oh, those people who think they know God and roll their eyes. We want them to say, oh, yes, those people. They're the ones who give out food on Wednesdays. They're the ones who smile and don't make us feel shameful when we come to get food on Wednesday. Those are the people who said that they'll actually pray for us, and they ask us if we want them to pray for us. Those people. Mm-hmm. That's how we want to be recognized, because we reflect who God is to the rest of the world. So let's thank God for his holy word and for revealing himself to us word by word, lesson by lesson. Thank you, God, for your word. Our takeaways today teach us about God living within each of us believers and the implications of him living in us. He's not just here to be here. He's here because he saved us. Because he saved us, he lives inside of us. Because he lives inside of us, he has given each of us good works to do, things that honor him and that help others know who he is. And because of all of that, he has declared that each of us, each who believes, we are his children. Amen? Praise God for his holy word. Let's pray. Thank you, God, because you are so good to us. You give us your word. You reinforce it around us. You give us witness in different places and spaces through creation, your handiwork. It shows us that you exist and that you love us and you care for us. And we pray now, God, that you would help us. Help us to be like Christ. Help us to allow your spirit to move in us because you live inside of us. Help us to rightly reflect who you are so that others can know and love you just as we do. Forgive us, God, when we fall short. Forgive us when we get tired. Forgive us when we have a quick response that's not kind, that's not nice. Forgive us when we run out of patience. Forgive us when we judge others instead of loving them and offering them grace. Help us, God, to do better. We thank you for that. We thank you for being patient with us. We thank you for helping us to grow up in you. We bless your holy name for it. And we don't take it for granted. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for sacrificing your son for us. Thank you for that. Bless us now as we close this time of studying your word together. May it live in our hearts and resonate with us this week. Help us to look for ways to be and do so we can be like you. In your holy name we pray it. Amen. Let's close now with a song and then I will return with our benediction.
God works in great ways because our closing song is God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. God is so He's so good to me. Amen. We're just singing the first verse.
God is so good, and not just to us as individuals, but to the world. So go from this place knowing that He didn't just save you. He saved everyone. Anyone who will believe. So that's why it's our job to go and show the world who God is. He's a forgiving God. He's a loving God. He's also a just and righteous God. He's also very patient and loving and kind. So let's spread some kindness this week. Let's show others some patience this week because that's who God is to us. So go, my dear brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, knowing that as we depart from this place, the Holy Spirit doesn't depart from you. He's in you to empower you to live for God's glory. So go in His peace, go in His grace until we meet again.